Well, hello once again. We begin with a new month. It's the month of February with Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello, and looking forward to talking again.
Yeah, it's February. Today, as we're talking, it's Groundhog Day. So hopefully by the time people, see us here, things will have changed a little bit. We'll have moved on. But yeah, it's kind of cold outside, kind of snowy. But as I mentioned earlier, we've got all the snow pushed to the side. Got a little bit of ice to deal with, but nothing I don't think we can manage or can't manage through. So we'll wait for the next storm.
Yeah. How many inches did you guys get of snow?
Two.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The problem is maybe earlier in the weekend, it snowed and then it rained a little bit. And once the snow gets heavy, it can be difficult to move. And then of course, when it freezes or when the temperature gets back below 32, it freezes and now it's just a problem to manage. But it's sunny today, and so hopefully it'll melt some of that, and we'll just, like I say, we'll wait for the next storm.
Well, and I guess, I mean, maybe good news, it's really, would this be maybe the first or maybe even second snow event of the season? There haven't been many, so your budget shouldn't be depleted as of yet.
Yeah, we're in good shape. Yeah, we've had, candidly, knock on wood, pretty good luck in my time here. I mean, we're in our fifth snow season and really haven't had to break out the real heavy hitters. We've got a number of contractors who are on call should we need that. And we just haven't had to activate that part of the service. I say, knock on wood, we're doing pretty well.
Well, the groundhog says, what, six more weeks of winter. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know what language you speak in. But yeah, you said something.
Well, probably the biggest news, though, this week, the state now allowing those age 65 and up to register to be vaccinated. We always give this information wherever we are because our newsroom gets flooded with emails. It's ourshot.in.gov. You can also call 211 if you're 65 and older to register. So far, though, they're in Columbus, Bartholomew County. How's the vaccination process going there? And I know you're going to be able to find out soon because you're scheduled, aren't you?
Yeah, I got registered Monday. As soon, they opened it up to 65 and older. So there are some advantages to age. To get you maybe a little bit ahead in the line. But yeah, they opened it up to 65 and older on Monday. And it took a little while, maybe a half hour for me and a half hour for my wife, to register. But our appointments are later this week on Thursday and Friday. And most of the people I've talked to have indicated that you go over there to the vaccination site, whichever one you choose, and there are a couple. You're in and out. It's really not timely, not time consuming, and so we encourage everybody that's eligible to go get vaccinated.
Did you register on the web or the phone?
At the web, yeah. Okay. Ourshot.in.gov.
And you had no trouble getting through and getting the time set up.
Got kicked out once, but again, the total time spent was about a half hour apiece for myself and for my wife.
Last month, every mayor in January I talked to was worried whether there would be enough vaccine. Indiana, top of the country in vaccinating people, I saw a chart, and that was yesterday. I know that's probably changing, but how are the local people there stepping up to this mass vaccination process?
Well, the local providers are doing an extraordinary job. I mean, particularly in getting out to some of the shut-ins, the nursing homes. I mean, those places have been administered to. The last conversation I had with the folks out at CRH, Columbus Regional Health, they have not yet wasted a vaccine dose. I mean, they've either had people show up, which they're supposed to do, but in light of cancellations, I mean, they're always able to fill that in with someone. And so we're kind of excited about the opportunities to be able to bring that here in a timely fashion. The discussions, what you're trying to achieve, I think, is what they call herd immunity. And, the numbers vary based upon who you listen to. But my guess is that here in Bartholomew County, we need to vaccinate about 70,000 people. And I, again, might be higher or lower based on who you talk to. The last time I checked, we were right around 2,000. So we got a ways to go. I don't want to diminish the challenge in front of us, but so far the reaction's been strong. People are willing to proceed with the vaccine. The process works pretty well, and so we'll just wait our time. But it, you know, leads me into the second conversation, which is, you know, the mask. We're going to continue to have to be attuned to that, wear that for quite a while. Like I said, we may be at 2 or thereabouts, need to get to 70,000. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to take several months. In the meantime, wear your mask. Yeah.
People, we've had a few emails and people worry, you know, they're going to go get their first vaccination and there's not going to be enough for their second. Are you hearing anything about that?
No, no, we've been told not to worry about that, that is part of the process. They understand, the providers do, that they have to provide a second vaccine within a certain period of time, and they're prepared to do that.
And we reported on sheriffs in Bartholomew County and Monroe counties asking the state to vaccinate inmates. And there was a news report, I believe, just last week about, 50% tested positive in the jail there in Columbus. And you know they're taking precautions, and it's just scary to think how fast this virus can move in contained areas. Have you heard anything more about getting the vaccination to, you know, jails? And I know that's also been an issue in nursing homes.
Right, right. No, I have not heard any more about vaccinating jails or vaccinating the inmates there at jails. But you're exactly right. I mean, the virus gets spread when we share the same air, and you know, that's going to happen in any enclosed environment. And so a jail is just ripe for the virus to transmit one to another. But no, I've not heard anything new about that.
We had an email sent in about those who are 65 and older, but can't get to a vaccination site. Is there some place in Bartholomew County or Columbus that people can get the vaccine taken to them?
I'm not aware that we've got any delivery. We do have, the city has a process, excuse me, a service offering called Call a Bus. And so you can call in and get a ride. I think they would, you know, administer, take you to the vaccine site, but that's where I would direct people. You know, call our transit system and see if you can't get to the site through them. You need to wear a mask. I mean, President Biden's recent declaration or mandate, you know, affects our transit system. And anything that is federally funded is picked up in the in his order. And so that includes City of Columbus buses and the transfer stations that we've got. But yeah, give that a call, and you know, I'm sure they'll help you if they can.
You know, you led right into the next question we're getting too, of people wondering if you do get both of the vaccinations, that must mean you don't need to wear your mask anymore.
We will encourage you. We will ask you to continue to wear your mask until we are, as I said earlier, to either, in my view, 70,000. You know, my background's accounting. I like numbers. You know, I'll know when I'm there when I get to 7 and 4 zeros. But you can also pay attention to the state's color-coded, you know, chart for various counties. And when we get to blue, you know, you can take your mask off. But not until then. We really need to diminish the transmission, because, you know, part of what I've read is that the vaccine may prevent you from contracting the virus, but you may still get it, and the vaccine might minimize your symptoms. You know, it might make the disease a little less severe, but you can still contract it. And so, again, all the more reason to wear the mask to protect yourself, as well as protect, you know, transmitting the virus to others. So yeah, please continue to wear the mask, and, you know, don't model bad behavior, you know, for those who, you know, haven't yet had either contracted the vaccine, developed the antibodies, or had the vaccine.
We did get an email from Ann just a couple hours ago, and just got it in time. She writes, 400 mayors signed a letter saying that they are in need of local relief. That's included in the COVID relief package that President Biden has put forward. That relief for states and local governments, though, is not in the smaller relief package that's favored by the 10 Republican senators. Could you ask the mayor where they stand on that relief for local government and whether they signed the letter? So I'll go ahead and ask you that.
Well, I did not sign the letter because I haven't seen it. I don't know, you know, what typically those kinds of letters are drafted by, you know, some national organization that wants to, you know, promote a particular agenda. And it may make sense, it may not, but I haven't seen it, so I really don't have an opinion on it.
What about the need of local relief that's included in that package? Is that something that you would sign or that you're in favor for?
You know, Joe, I'd have to sort of see the bill. You know, candidly, at this point, you know, if I take a real hard look at it, our revenues have not been adversely impacted by the virus. We've been one of the fortunate ones. And I read something the other day that indicates that's likely due to the fact that our economy is based heavily on manufacturing, and manufacturing has not had the hit, so to speak, that other sectors of the economy have, whether particularly those that are reliant upon tourism. So, you know, if you're a municipality in Florida and you make a lot of your money based on tourists, Walt Disney World comes to mind. Yeah, I would imagine you'd be really excited about that. But we've just not seen that. And so I'd really have to see the bill and understand it a little further before, you know, making any comment one way or the other.
The latest General Assembly, the Indiana news about the cigarette tax increase yesterday. I know you were watching for TIF legislation, and you know, I didn't have to prompt the other mayors. They all said the same, unless they listened to the show too. but they're concerned about TIF restrictions as well. Have you heard anything more in the last month?
No, I haven't really. I know there's some legislation that's been proposed. You know, TIFs are what we use to grow the city, you know, to grow the tax base of the city. And that increase in tax base benefits all of us, whether, you know, it might be directly inside the TIF district or it might be outside. You know, we support a business that comes here inside the TIF district, and they hire workers who live outside of it, you know, that cause our housing market to increase and thereby increase our assessed valuation. You know, the issue you get into is that you can look around the state and there's two or three places where perhaps TIFs have been used improperly. And it has angered a couple of state legislators who want to go up to Indianapolis and fix something that happened, and I'll say in Jeffersonville, but, you know, it could have been anywhere. And then the rest of us pay for it, because now what we find is that we've got a whole series of restrictions that we have to live with that just slow everything down and make it a little bit more difficult for us to make decisions. And again, it doesn't necessarily change what we're trying to do. It just, you know, sort of, well, it muddies up the waters considerably. So I'm hopeful, you know, that the legislature can come to some kind of consensus on an approach that would, you know, rein in some of the bad actors, if you will, but believe the rest of us who really are following the rules and trying to make you know, positive improvement in our communities, you know, make it easy for us to continue to do our job.
Yeah. Just a couple city things I've noticed that I've heard of the developer Flattery and Collins being approved for a mixed use housing, urban grocer development, some parking. From what the local paper there says, about what, $39 million total, but the city is putting some money into that too. Can you maybe explain how that works?
Yeah, it's a little complicated. We may need 3 or 4 hours to get through it all here, but there are several components to the financing. One is that we will contribute some ground. You know, there's on that particular project, I'll say 10 acres, I could be mistaken as to the actual number, that of ground, grass, you know, today is just grass if you look at it, a few trees. It's all east of Lafayette Street and south of 2nd Street here in downtown Columbus. We will contribute that ground, which a majority of which we didn't pay anything to receive. A good portion of it was gifted to the city by the Irwin Sweeney Miller interests, and in many cases years ago. This ground has sat fallow for, I'll say, 20 years, certainly as long as I can remember. And so now we're happy to have some, you know, an opportunity to do something with it. We have spent some money on it to, you know, to take care of some environmental issues that have existed there. But again, the cost of the of the cost of this land to us in most cases was zero. Now there are a few parcels we bought for a few hundred thousand bucks, but it's sort of minor in the whole scheme of things. There will be a couple million bucks that the city will contribute to the project, along with the proceeds of a bond that the city will issue or the Redevelopment Commission will issue. And the bond repayment will come from the property taxes that the project generates. So, you know, it more or less finances itself by, you know, creating something that we get to tax and then using the tax receipts to pay back the bond. The developer himself will, Paul say he's going to put in close to $30 million. So again, if it's a $40 million project or 39, you mentioned, you know, the bond will cover a little bit of it. The city, you know, is going to contribute some cash. The majority of the money comes from the developer. And, you know, what we'll have there is a couple hundred apartments. You know, what we've penciled in right now is 200, but, you know, when they actually design it, it could be 198 or 204 or something like that. And then we also will have a grocery store, you know, as part of that. You may recall a year or so ago, we completed a planning process called Envision Columbus. And during Envision Columbus, one of the things that came out was, you know, we really need in the downtown area is a, what we call an urban grocery, just a grocery store downtown, but one that people could walk to, one that would, you know, satisfy perhaps a little bit different need than some of the big box stores that we have out on the edge of the city. And so as part of this development, we asked the developer to come forward with a grocery store concept or response. And they have got an arrangement put together with Blooming Foods, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And so we hope to have them, you know, in downtown Columbus here sometime. Like I said earlier, it might be March of 2022 before we start construction, but sometime in the future. And yeah, I look forward to that. They represent a little bit different slice of the market than, say, a Kroger or a Walmart. And I think that would be well received here in Columbus. Plus, it would provide, you know, healthy choices for those people who live within walking distance, what they can't get right now. So yeah, we're kind of excited about it.
Yeah. Is that Blooming Foods? Is that in stone? Is that being talked about? Or what's the status of that?
My understanding is there's an arrangement between Flaherty and Collins and Blooming Foods. And we had a meeting with the Blooming Foods folks a week or so ago, and thought it went well. So we anticipate their continued participation in the program.
You have a city council meeting tonight. Of course, this runs on Wednesday, so it will be last night. But you're looking for approval, a new building from city council that will house the probation department. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, the mixed-use development that we were talking about is east of Lafayette, east of the jail, and south of 2nd Street. The project we're going to talk about now is north of the jail, starts at least north of the jail on a city block that's currently owned by the county. County of Bartholomew uses it for a parking lot. And then there's a building on one corner of that block that houses the probation department. The sign out front says Court Services Building, or Bartholomew County Court Services Building. But what goes on inside the building is that the probation department and its activities. In order to clear that building off of there and make that ready for the hotel conference center that we have envisioned, we need to move the probation department. And so the Redevelopment Commission has purchased the real estate at 555 First Street, which is south of the jail. Okay, now you got to, I know I can get a little confusing here, north, south, east, and west, but what we would be doing would be, we bought already, closed on the real estate south of the jail, 555 First Street, and we're going to tear that building down and build a new facility there, a new building that will house the probation department. We've already begun demolition on 555 First Street. We've taken out the landscaping and, you know, disconnected utilities. The next step when we get the appropriate permit from IDEM will be to actually demolish the building, which the City of Columbus will do itself. You know, we've got the ability to tear things down. You know, I guess we're pretty good at the demo work, but we'll take that down and get the site ready for the contractors. So we've signed contracts or prepared to sign contracts with Dunlap and Barth, I think is the name of the electrical contractor. And, you know, our hope is that they start again in March of 2021. Excuse me. We anticipate that being a year-long construction process. So in March of 2022, we would envision moving the probation department from its current location to the new building, 555 First Street, at which point then we would raise the existing building there at the corner of 3rd and Franklin, and again, get that site ready for the hotel conference center.
Right. Well, we'll have lots to talk about that in the coming year and updates. And I know we're out of time, but I have to ask you if you were able to welcome former Vice President Mike Pence, Karen, his family back to Indiana a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I got two things. You know, one was, yes, we were able to get out to the airport and welcome Mike and Karen back to town. You know, the last couple of weeks of his time in office were fairly eventful. And so, yeah, it's got to feel good to come home. And we wanted him to feel good about coming home. So I tried to get out there to let him know that we're glad he made it out there safely and back here. Second thing is, you know, today's Groundhog Day. Tonight we have city council meeting, but we also have State of the City address. You know, we're doing it a little bit differently this year. In the past, we've had it, we've tried to make it an event. This year, it's a podcast. You know, I recorded it yesterday. It'll go live on the city's website tonight at 7 o'clock. And I guess it's like everything else on the internet, right? It lives forever. So if you don't see it Tuesday night at 7 p.m., just visit the city's website at any time after that, and you'll be able to watch it.
Any big announcements during the State of the City address tonight?
No, there's no big, I mean, nothing that we haven't talked about, but, you know, we do a couple, you know, there are a couple of things that I hope that people pick up. One is how truly thankful I am, we are, being the administration here at the city, of the cooperation that we have received throughout the community as we've worked our way through this pandemic. We started our first COVID-19 task force meeting was February 28th, so not quite a year ago. And I think we got on it a little early. We had some news that had come to us through a couple channels from Wuhan and indicated that this is serious and it's coming your way. So you need best be prepared. And so with about 48 hours notice, we convened a group of leaders throughout the city. Education leaders, the healthcare community, clergy, the social services folks. We had representatives from industry here, all to focus their attention on what we thought was headed our way. And the first big decision that was had to be made, was whether to return from spring break, because at that point we were a couple of weeks away from spring break for the Bartholomew Consolidated Schools. And we wanted the leadership there to give some thought to whether, folks should return, return to school when they came back. And they concluded no. And so it was a really quick a pivot for them to go from, 100% in-person learning. And in about 4 weeks, 2 weeks of study and then 2 weeks of fall of spring break to go to 100% e-learning. And so our hats off and to what they've been able to do. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands how thankful we are. You know, Bartholomew County, we got some of the problems everybody else does with this virus, but right now we're kind of a pinpoint of orange in a sea of red. And I think people should feel good about that. I realize it's a small comfort to somebody who's, fallen a victim of the virus, but we really have done a pretty good job. And, the credit goes to those who have stepped up and just made the right decisions, even though they weren't easy or they might've been costly. So I tried to get that message across in the State of the City, and I hope I did a good job of it.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Good luck on Thursday. And
I bought one for needles. I got to admit.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
All right.
But we'll hope to see you in March.
We'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.